all day, forever. It has no appeal to many people. In fact, it sounds downright boring. And even though I strongly disagree with them, I can understand where they're coming from. If I was anticipating that kind of eternal existence that many people envision when they think about heaven, I guess I'd prefer non-existence too. But as one studies the Bible, our map for heaven, heaven is a far different concept and place than that wrong conception. Last Sunday morning, if you're with us, we began a description of heaven from the Word of God as a real place. Jesus said that himself, in fact. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. It is a real place. And that the glory of heaven is not only a destination someday, but a very present reality this morning for those of us in this room who know him in a personal way. That is, heaven is not only out there, it's also in here. Well, this morning, I'd like to answer a few questions that have come my way about heaven. As a destination, what is heaven going to be like? And I wish to carefully answer those as best I can from the Scripture. So I invite you to take your Bible and check me out. Grab your sword this morning. Find your Scripture. Find one in the back and follow along with me as we try to answer a few, I certainly recognize, difficult questions. And you might want to look at 1 John chapter 3. Not the Gospel, but the letters of John. 1 John chapter 3. In answer to this question, what will our bodies be like in heaven? To answer that question, we must think about our risen Lord. The Lord Jesus, do you remember, left the tomb. We focus on it at least annually and should a lot more. Possessed a body with new and marvelous powers, though real and tangible, Jesus was able to pass through solid walls and closed doors without leaving a trace. In fact, it was the Apostle John who entered into the empty tomb, remember, and he saw the burial clothes laying there that had wrapped around the Savior still in place. Read it carefully. And then he makes a comment about the headpiece, just like it was. Obviously, no one else had touched them. It would seem that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ had come out of them, much like a butterfly does from its cocoon. Because the resurrection bodies of believers will be like that of the risen Christ, it will not be necessary for God to disturb the landscape of the cemeteries at the rapture and the resurrection of God's entire family. It is not going to be difficult work for our great God. John, I think, is admitting some of the questions that we have. I'm glad that's in there. John is one writer who loved the Lord Jesus in such a beautiful, personal way, and yet, like us, had questions. Listen to what he says freely and openly. Verse 1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be." Aha! He admits that. It was one of his questions. What are we going to be like? What's it going to be like to have a body in heaven? And John says, We don't know all the details about that. It has not appeared as yet exactly what we will be. But we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. There's our answer. We will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. It's an intriguing question to John, and certainly one to many of us here this morning as well. The Bible doesn't say all the details of the mystery of what it's going to be like to have a body in heaven, but it gives us many good hints. Like Philippians chapter 3. Will you go there with me? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul's encouraged when he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, look at this, transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself." He will transform us into a body of God's glory. Therefore, I say, based on these scriptures and a number of others, that our bodies will be recognizable. We will know one another in heaven. Our bodies will be fashioned like His glorious body, and He was recognized by many, many followers. Now, I realize some of you are thinking right off the bat here that when He appeared before Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb, she didn't recognize Him. She didn't scream. She didn't see a ghost. She thought He was the gardener in His glorified, risen body. You also remember the story of two disciples who were walking with the Lord Jesus after His resurrection on a road to Emmaus, and they did not know who He was. And they had a wonderful conversation, and our Lord Jesus, who had a sense of humor, I am convinced, just let that conversation go and ask them, "Have you heard the news in Jerusalem? Do you know what they're saying going on?" And they said, "Well, yeah, we know about the big story." And they said, they told Him, and of course He knew all about it. It was all about Him. And the Bible says in Luke 15, that their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. So they didn't catch it. They didn't know all the details, but it didn't scare them. It was a glorious, risen body that they conversed with, and then they finally caught on when they broke bread together. Jesus ate with them. He talked with them. He touched them. Our bodies will be recognizable. Second, our bodies will be indestructible. Won't that be neat? 1 Corinthians 15, the body is sown in corruption. It will be raised beyond the reach of corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It will be raised in splendor. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. As we all know, especially as we get older, our bodies in this life are subject to great deterioration, disease and sickness and death. But in heaven, we are going to live on and on without ever experiencing any physical or mental disease. Our bodies will never become ill. They will never show signs of age. They will never, ever die. Thank God they will be indestructible. Whew. Just like Him. Just like Him. Also, he says right there in Corinthians, our bodies will be truly spiritual. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. This does not, to me, imply the resurrection body will only be spiritual of some sort. It will be real and physical In fact, Jesus said that to his disciples, insisted in Luke 24 that this is flesh and bones, my friends. Our bodies will be perfect. They will be recognizable. They will be indestructible. They will be powerful and they will be spiritual. And there will never, ever again be any physical or emotional limitations as we experience right here, even among us this morning. Just think of that. No limitations. We always want to think immediately about another good question. What age are we going to be in heaven? That's a tough one. I tell you, I do not know. I do know that age is not an issue in heaven. Time is not an issue in heaven. We want so badly to think of our loved ones who've gone on before as waiting the time for us to come and thinking about how we're doing and all of that. And time is not an issue in glory. It is timeless. But all the disease and all the sickness and the phobias that we have, afraid of heights and afraid of travel and afraid of snakes, dear, and all of the above will be gone forever. Forever and ever and ever. There's no time. There's no age. It's just beautiful. It's wonderful. We will have glorified bodies in heaven. A second question people have asked me is, what about marriage in heaven? That's a good question. If you still have your Bible open, go to Matthew 22. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and verse 23. And on that day, some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection, that was a group in Jesus' day that was teaching that there is no miraculous, there's no resurrection stuff. Oh, yes, there is. They were teaching there's no resurrection, came to Jesus and questioned him, asking, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother, so also the second and the third, down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died." They're trying to trap him. Confuse him with this weird story. In the resurrection, Jesus, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? There are seven. Now answer that one for us. Jesus did. Verse 29, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." There's our answer. What Jesus said in this passage is troubling to some people, especially those who enjoy a really happy marriage. I can understand, having been married for 38 years, from a human point of view, with a limited perspective that often hinders my comprehension of things eternal, it can be a concern to realize that we're not married in heaven. As we now know it, it is not going to last forever. I believe this is the case, since the union of husband and wife will have served its primary function here on earth. According to the creation record, in the first book we have, the book of Genesis, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, man was created, male and female. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And we've been doing a great job of that ever since. Now, the physical, sexual aspect of marriage, as we now know it on earth, will cease to be sure, but love, love never fails. Our relationships will only be greater. They will only be heightened. They will only be increased in heaven. From the Phillips translation, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "These little issues, which are really so transitory, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward out of all proportion to our experience. For we are all looking all the time, not at the visible, but the invisible." That's what God says do. Don't just think about married life here on earth. Think about the joy and the glory that lies ahead with me, he says. In fact, all of the mysteries surrounding the wonders of heaven ought to be heightened and excite us as we expect and should intensify our yearning for the complete revelation, knowing everything. Now we know in part. Then we will know fully everything. Marriage is an earthly institution. It's not eternal. Think about another event in Scripture, the conversation Jesus had with the woman at the well. You know where I'm going. They talked about worship for a little while. You worship there, and I worship here, and who are you? What are you all about? And then Jesus hinted at knowing something about her, and she said, "Well, I'm not married." And he said, "That's right. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with today is not one of them. So what would God do with her in heaven?" Now, it's so much better. There's not that earthly relationship many of us are thinking about here. It's so much better. Count on the fact that God knows exactly what he's doing, and count on the fact that God is preparing something better than any of us could imagine. Last Sunday we played that song, I can only imagine. Mercy me. They had an accident, by the way. Mike, you told me. But it was their bus tour ran into somebody else, but I think all is well, isn't it? Oh, it's not, Mike? There was 2 deaths in that? That group we watched on the film. I'm sorry, I don't know why I brought that all up just now. But goodness, pray for that group. I love their music and I love that song. I can only imagine. I can only imagine what heaven is going to be like. God, you haven't told us all the details. You haven't answered all our questions, because we wouldn't be able to begin understanding it in all its appreciation. It's glorious. It's beautiful. It's eternal. It's wonderful. Thank you, God. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's preparing a place for us. And if I come again and to receive you into myself, I will bring you there with me. You will be celebrating forever, which is a long time, with me in heaven. One more question. Somebody asked me, can loved ones in heaven see us now? Interesting question, isn't it? So I got out my map, I got out the book, got out the word, and tried to see all the different passages that might have a reference to something about that good question. Some people turn immediately to Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to this verse. "Surrounded then as we are by these serried ranks of witnesses, let us strip off everything that hinders us, as well as the sin which dogs our feet, and let us run the race that we have to run with patience, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith." We're surrounded by witnesses, and many people have written even a book or two on the fact that demonstrates that there are witnesses in heaven, and they're watching and they're entertaining all the stuff we're doing down here all the time. But is that really what that's talking about? I don't think so. The author of Hebrews was talking about the witnesses in the previous chapter. All those men and women of chapter 11, their lives, their example, their faith, which should be an encouragement and an incentive for us to run the race with patience that we have to run and to do it like they did. And we're surrounded by them like in a stadium full of people. They've gone before us and they did it this way and they did it that way. They all did it God's way and the right way. You run the same way. That's what I think it means. There's another verse in Luke 15:10 where we're told that there is rejoicing in heaven among the presence of the angels of God when a sinner repents. Remember that? Ever heard of that? That the angels get excited. They got excited last Sunday right here. That's what it says. The angels are totally different. I believe someday when the body is resurrected and reunited with the soul that's gone to be with Jesus in heaven, we'll see all and know all and converse with all and have a marvelous time praising God about all the things that happen here on earth. We call it the rapture. It's a passage in 1 Thessalonians 4 where Paul explains what's going to happen one of these days, and I hope you're ready. But one of these days, there's going to be a great sound and a trumpet sound, and what's going to happen first? The dead in Christ will rise first. You see, I believe one of these days, when He comes in the air, that the bodies of all believers of all time will be resurrected and reunited with the Spirit in the air. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. And so will we be with Him forever, all eternity. It's going to be something else. Picture those moments in the air with Jesus. I believe that we will have a time when we watch and see and converse with one another. But today, it's my understanding, just as one student of Scripture, that when both my parents went to be with Jesus a year and 2 years ago, actually, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. At the moment, God took their soul and it went to be with Jesus. What does that look like? I don't know. God couldn't explain how great that looks. But the soul, their souls are with Him. And someday that body will be resurrected in the air. And it will be glorious and perfect and recognizable. Amazing. I look forward to that. I believe there will be recognition in heaven. And I believe there will be loved ones there. We together as a family will celebrate forever. I cannot possibly imagine them, even though I think I often do, as the way I remembered them when they left, right? And sitting there or standing there. And I think, Dave, that concept is wrong. Their soul is with Jesus. The physical body we put in the grave, it will come alive again. Heaven is not bound by time. Heaven is not the place where they're waiting, talking, visiting, watching. No, it's perfect. It's glorious. And someday we'll all be there together. I close with Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. I tell you this morning, based on this book, that He is coming again. And according to this book, you and I better be ready. Do you have your ticket? It costs nothing. It costs God His Son's life. But it costs you and me nothing. It's His grace, His mercy. We sang that this morning. It's all about Him, not me. All I need to do is get a ticket. God, I know You and I now accept You and I love You. Come in my life. Be sure you're ready. Now, in the meantime, because He hasn't come yet, in the meantime, here's a couple of things you should not do. One, don't sit around this week waiting for a bugle sound. It's going to happen, but don't do that. Don't just sit around waiting for that sound. Don't stare in the sky somewhere waiting. Don't quit work because you're just sure. And for goodness sake, don't set a date because you just found out when He's coming. Because I don't believe it. He says none of us know. Here's what you should do. Live every day for His glory. Every day. Work diligently in your job and in your home. Remain balanced, cheerful, and enjoyable to be around. And then He'll come. He's coming. He's coming. It says He's coming. I want all of us to be ready. I want us to be ready. Let's pray. Father, thanks for Your word. We'd be so completely lost without the knowledge of Your word. Teach us. Show us. Day by day. How to be closer to You and how to be ready. I pray we will be, for whenever it is, that You surprise us. And the dead in Christ rise first, and then we're caught up together with everyone in the air, and we go to be with You forever. That sounds like heaven. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.